Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. May you be inspired by the word today.
Very, very excited to be here this morning. I hope you all had a very Merry Christmas. And this morning, we are going to be talking about some lessons that we can learn from 2020. This is the very last weekend in 2020. Is anybody excited about that? Yeah, I am too. I am too. So we are going to be reading out of the book of Isaiah, and you will notice that I have a helper here. This is my daughter, Hadassah, and she will be reading out of the book of Isaiah with us. So if you would please stand out of respect for God's word, and if you'd like to follow along, we will be in Isaiah 26. We're going to be reading verses 3 through 9, and I will begin. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you.
Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock.
For he has humbled the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city. He lays it low to the ground, casts it to the dust.
The foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy.
The path of the righteous is level. You make level the way of the righteous.
In the path of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and remembrance are the desire of our soul.
My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are on the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Amen. You may be seated. And can we please thank Hadassah for helping us out with our scripture reading this morning? Thank you, babe. So, when talking about lessons we can learn in 2020, I think we really need to go back and look at the experiences we've had in 2020. There have been a lot of them, right? So why don't we first take a walk down memory lane before we start talking about what we can learn from this past year. So January, this year started hearing about wildfires in Australia. The fires burned 46 million acres and killed or injured 3 billion animals. We heard about Prince Harry and his wife Meghan quit the royal family. They moved to Canada for a while. Now they're in LA. There was an impeachment trial against President Donald Trump. Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna died in a helicopter crash along with 7 other people. Wuhan, China was in lockdown because of the coronavirus. Travel was banned between the U.S. and China, and the White House created a coronavirus task force in January. In February, we had Super Bowl 54. The Kansas City Chiefs won against the San Francisco 49ers. There was a live audience at that game. President Trump was acquitted. Ahmaud Arbery was shot and killed in Georgia as he was out jogging. Christina Cook returned to Earth after 328 days in space. It's actually a record for a female astronaut. The World Health Organization named the coronavirus COVID-19. And the first coronavirus death is reported in the United States. We find out that later there were earlier deaths, but this is the first one that is recorded. In March, 13 tornadoes strike the Nashville area and killed around 25 people. Breonna Taylor is shot and killed while she is in her home and unarmed. The World Health Organization declares the coronavirus a pandemic. Kenny Rogers died. And then in the middle of the month, things went crazy here in Michigan. So kids were sent home on a Thursday from school and never to return for the rest of that school year. Major organized sports seasons were canceled. Broadway canceled all of their tours and their shows. The stock market was falling drastically. And then here in Michigan, we were under the stay home, stay safe order. We were in lockdown. Restaurants, gyms, theaters, libraries, all closed. And life as we knew it stopped. April. Worldwide, the coronavirus case numbers pass the 1 million mark. Masks become recommended by the White House. In 23 countries throughout Africa and the Middle East, there were locust swarms that devoured acres of crops and caused millions to starve. There were armed demonstrators at the Capitol building in Lansing protesting this stay home, stay safe order. But Michigan residents did begin receiving stimulus checks, so that was good. And everybody started buying toilet paper like crazy. It's hard to find anywhere. In May, the stay home, stay safe order in Michigan was lifted. Things began opening back up. SpaceX launched 2 astronauts into space. This was the first launch of NASA astronauts from the U.S. in over 10 years. Murder hornets were spotted in the U.S., sizing up to 2 inches, just what we needed, right? And then George Floyd was killed, and we can still hear his voice as he said, "I can't breathe." And this sparked protesting and rioting throughout the country. Even here in Grand Rapids, we experienced peaceful protesting that was followed by violent rioting. And during this time, many Americans were introduced to the organization and the rallying cry of Black Lives Matter. In June was a month of civil unrest. There was protesting and rioting that continued in many U.S. cities for days at a time. Across the country, especially in the South, Confederate statues and other historical monuments seen as symbols of racism were vandalized. NASCAR banned the Confederate flag. Joe Biden officially became the Democratic presidential candidate. And worldwide, the coronavirus case numbers passed 10 million when they passed 1 million 2 months before. In July, Nigeria experiences extreme civil unrest with lots of violence. The 2020 Summer Olympics are delayed until 2021. Kelly Preston died, Regis Philbin died, and we experienced a national coin shortage. You can still go to certain gas stations or stores and it says, pay with a card or pay with exact change. And we saw names and logos of some well-known brands change because of cultural sensitivity during this time, including Aunt Jemima Syrup, Eskimo Pies, the Cleveland Indians, and Big Boy's logo is now a little girl named Dolly. In August, we had wildfires along our West Coast, ranging from the top of Washington to the bottom of California. That wildfire devoured more acres in California than any other fire before it. We got to celebrate the graduation of Pastor Curtis as he got his doctorate. It's pretty exciting. Yep. His official title now is Reverend Dr. Curtis A. Thompson. Kamala Harris was announced the Democratic vice presidential candidate. There was an explosion in Beirut that killed 190 people, injured thousands more, caused great destruction. And Chadwick Boseman, who played the Black Panther, died. In September, students returned to school. Many of them were virtual at first. Here in Michigan, gyms and bowling alleys opened back up at 25% capacity. Hallelujah for those gyms, right? The Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. She was the second woman to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. And then Disney theme parks laid off over 28,000 people because of the effects of the coronavirus on their company. In October, KCC's Wyoming campus changed their name to the Together Church in one more step toward autonomy. In this month, coronavirus cases started surging out of control in one day here in the U.S. There were over 94,000 positive cases. President Trump and First Lady Melinda tested positive for coronavirus. Texas enacted a curfew. The State University of New York sent all of their students home to do the semester virtually. In Michigan, masks became a must. The size of indoor gatherings were limited. There were 14 suspects arrested in October for the kidnapping plot of Governor Whitmer. Sean Connery died, the original James Bond. And we were living in this tense political climate. There were mailings and phone calls and commercials, passionate news reportings about who to vote for. But we did see during this time record-breaking numbers of early voters. In November, we had the election, and President-elect Joe Biden won. The beginning of November, we were able to celebrate 1 year with Pastor Mick Veach as the lead pastor here at KCC. Very exciting. Yes. And we also celebrated a year since Pastor Brandt launched the book, The Noble Knights of Beanie Weenie. And I just love that picture of him and wanted to put that on there. I'm sure there's a copy of the book somewhere if you're still looking. Restaurants began taking down phone numbers if you plan to dine inside. Sadly, Alex Trebek died. He hosted Jeopardy for 37 years straight. By the end of the month, Michigan came under the Pause to Save Lives order. And that sent all of our high schoolers and university students home to finish the semester out virtually. Organized sports are canceled. And then again, restaurants or indoor dining at restaurants is closed. Our libraries are closed. Our theaters are closed again. December, we made it. Most of the month, we continued to live under that Pause to Save Lives Act. Many students finished their season of school this semester virtually, but we got great news. The vaccine had been created, and even more exciting, it was created by a Michigan company, Pfizer. So we saw that, get created, start being distributed, and we've seen actually people getting that vaccine. It's very exciting. There's a second company called Moderna that created their version of the vaccine, and they've been distributing it as well. So hope on the horizon, and we were able to celebrate Christmas a couple of days ago. And I know that each of you can add your own personal events to this timeline. Maybe it's graduations and weddings. Maybe it's the loss of a job or the loss of a loved one. We've been through a lot, haven't we? It's a lot to process, but God is still moving in the midst of it. God is still near, and he's still working, and he is faithful to teach us through these events if we listen. I don't know about you, but God teaches me the best through experiences. I think that if I have to physically go through something, I'm going to remember it better. For example, how many of you, when you went through driver's education and you heard all the lectures and you read the reading material and you got done with the class, how many of you would say, I knew how to drive a car? You know, technically, we knew how to drive a car, right? But when you got behind the wheel of a car and you turned it on and put it in drive, how many of you would say, that's when I learned how to drive a car, right? I think there's a difference between knowing something and then knowing something. And the difference is experience. And God wants to use these experiences that we've had this year to teach us, truly teach us about him. So the first lesson that I think we can learn from 2020 is to slow down. Can anybody say, slow down? Slow down. We here in America are busy. Okay, we live in a very fast-paced society. Most adults get less than 7 hours of sleep a night. We're working 40 to 60 hours a week. Our kids are in sports and clubs. They are going to play dates and birthday parties. And us as adults, we're going to work. We're going on coffee dates with our friends. We're doing daily trips to the gym. Oh, and then we stop by the store for one item before we head home. Okay, we are away from our house more than we are actually in our house. But the kicker is, we are applauded for being busy. When you are busy, it looks like we're being productive. We're important. We're successful, right? We're not good at resting. We don't prioritize it. And there are times where we can see rest as laziness. But God says, be still and know that I am God. In the Old Testament, God set aside one day a week and called it the Sabbath and said, you have to refrain from working that day. Because he knew that as humans, rest is important for our health. When we think about being busy, a lot of times we think about being physically busy, all the stuff we need to do, right? But I would say that there's another busyness, another type of busyness, and it's a mental busyness. And we are very mentally busy as well. Jefferson Bethke says, we are informationally obese, gorging ourselves on information until we are sick and unhealthy. Have you heard of the COVID-19? It's kind of like the freshman 15 when you go to college and you're expected to gain 15 pounds that first year because every single time you go to the cafeteria, it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. Well, the COVID-19 is like that. And many people would say, oh, because we're in lockdown, because we're home, you're probably gonna gain about 19 pounds. Some of us have gained some weight during this time, but I think that many of us, almost all of us, have gained mental weight during this time because of all of the input coming in. We've gorged ourselves on news, gorged ourselves on media, and now we are heavier and sicker for it. We have to stop putting in so much information. Mental busyness, it gives us anxiety. It causes us to easily lose focus, to have a lower work ethic. And it makes us think that we are wise when we really have no experience to back it up. There's someone in the Bible who had a lot going on. King Solomon. King Solomon was King David's son, who took the throne once King David passed away. And he was very wise, very wealthy. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. How many of you men out here think you can handle 1,000 women? It's a lot. He was actually tasked and blessed with the ability to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. He was often entertaining dignitaries. He had a lot going on. And he wrote a book in the Old Testament called Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a book that talks about all of the experiences that a person can have in their life. It talks about having all of the wisdom of the world and participating in all the pleasures of the world. It talks about working hard, being rich, being successful. And over again, King Solomon keeps saying, meaningless. It's all meaningless. At the end of the book, he boils it down to this. He says, Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commands, for this is the duty of all mankind. Bottom line, relationship with God. Because the things that King Solomon lists in this book, they're not bad things. Working hard and being successful, having wisdom, those are good things when they're in the context of a relationship with God. Your soul will never find rest until it rests in the Lord. Dallas Willard is a philosopher and educator, and he once said, "Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life." And so I want to ask you this. Are you becoming more like Jesus by the schedules and the practices that you are participating in? By the information that you are letting in? Are you allowing yourself to just sit and rest with the Lord once in a while? I encourage you to do so. The second thing that I believe we can learn from 2020 is that control is relative. When someone asks you, "Hey, how's it going?" how do we usually answer? You're probably going to talk about how work's going, you know, if you have vacation coming up, your relationships, your kids, what you have going on. It's mostly this outward and this visual representation of your life, right? That is your outer world. And we have an inner world as well. So let's talk about the outer world. If we've learned anything from 2020, it's that we have no control of our outer world, our circumstances. God has ultimate control of our outer world. And we try to do things to manipulate this outer world. You know, we make plans. For example, you can apply for a job. You can interview. You can land the job. But you cannot guarantee that the company will never go under or that you will never get fired. We can fill our schedule with all of the to-dos we have for the day and time it just right so that we can get all of our things done. But ultimately, you can't control a flat tire on the highway or a sudden stomach bug. We can plan family vacations or lunch dates with friends, a quiet day home alone while the kids are at school, or maybe you're planning to stay at your job just for 3 more years and then you'll retire because, you know, your retirement account will be full. And then COVID hits and you realize we ultimately have no control of this outer world. And the sad thing is that people put most of their energy into creating this outer world a certain way, right? They think, if I can get things just so, then I'll be happy. But the fact of the matter is, it's our inner world that needs improving. So what is this inner world? Well, it's our soul. Our soul is our mind and body and will. It consists of our emotions, our thoughts, our actions, our intentions. We control the inner world. We control how we will react to something, what to do with our emotions. We control how we're going to see the world and if we're going to continue to move along a process of healing and growth or if we're going to get stuck in a place. Our soul is made to be satisfied in God alone. But we control where we are going to go to meet the needs of our soul. And we've had a lot of emotion. We've had a lot of just internal experiences building up during this time of COVID, right? Everything you've gone through has created a feeling or a thought or a hurt. It's been building up inside. We get to control what we do with those emotions. We have to learn to understand how our involvement in each area of our life is affecting our soul. It requires us to assess what our days look like. Are you often stressed out? Are you often anxious? How can you arrange your days so that you are experiencing deep contentment, joy, and connectedness with the Lord? It requires us to make time for Him, to create situations in which we're able to draw closer to Him. And so, I wonder if you would think for a minute, in what ways do you experience God? Is it through music? Is it out being in nature? Is it creating art? Is it journaling or deep theological study? In what ways do you experience the Lord? We need to make time in our lives to spend with God more often. There's scripture that shows us the relationship between this outer world and inner world. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." See, God's saying, in your outer world you will have trouble. And that's what God controls. But in your inner world, we have the choice to take heart. Jesus says, if you remain in me, which is our choice of position, remain in Christ and he will give us his peace. James 1:2 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Our outer world will be faced with trials. But we have the choice to consider it pure joy. And so, I urge you to continue the practice of spending time with God and continue the practice of bringing all of your outer world and inner world emotions to surrender them to Christ. We should be regularly bringing those inner world emotions to Jesus, because he will take them and he will create in us a new heart that is not so heavy. Third lesson we can learn from 2020, we're built to be relational. Over and over this year, we keep hearing the sayings, we are better together, we're stronger together, right? There's this community aspect because we are built to be in community. In the Old Testament, God created the tribes of Israel to be in community. In the early church, we see the new believers fellowshipping daily, this vibrant and beautiful fellowship. And even today, all of us are called the body of Christ. And we come together with all of our gifts and all of our skills, and we build up a representation of Jesus to show to the world. We're built to be in community. And this year has made remaining in community pretty tough. I mean, we went under this pause to save lives, or not the pause, the first order was stay home, stay safe. We were in lockdown for 70 days straight. And then when we were able to go out back into the world, we were told, stay 6 feet apart from everyone. The only other time we had heard about a 6 feet distance in our relationships was when we were burying a loved one and they were 6 feet underground. We are mourning the state of our relationships right now. And on top of physically having to stay away from others, I think, you know, the enemy just, he wants to destroy our relationships. So he's kept us physically apart. But I think he's also tempted us to go into this mode of self-preservation. You know, I think that's why in the beginning of the pandemic, we saw people just, they were looking out for number one, right? They were going out and buying toilet paper. We had a national toilet paper shortage in this country this year. And it wasn't just toilet paper. It was chicken noodle soup and meat and Dr. Pepper and spaghetti noodles. The things that we love, right? The pandemic really caused some of us to go into that survival of the fittest, every man for himself type of mentality, which goes against that relational component that God would have for us. I think another way the enemy really tried to destroy relationships was through our input, because there was a lot coming at us. Right? If it wasn't COVID numbers, it was heavy racial strife, it was opposing political views, and even if masks are a violation of our freedoms or not. We were bombarded with media. And a lot of times we took in that information and we created our own opinion, and then we'd go on Facebook and fight with our brothers and sisters about it. It reminds me of a story that my friend told recently. She has two cats, and her cats get along just fine. But one night, in the middle of the night, this stray cat came to their sliding glass door, and one of her cats on the inside was facing off with the cat on the outside. And this cat on the outside was acting very aggressive and actually tried to attack her cat. And we know that it couldn't, but this cat on the inside absorbed all that emotion, absorbed all that anxiety and fear, and ended up turning and attacking her sister, who she's always gotten along with. And I wonder how many of us have absorbed information that have created these emotions during this time. Is it stress? Is it just feeling overwhelmed, feeling pain? And then we attack our brothers and sisters, or we're rude with our words to our spouse and our kids. The enemy wants to ruin our relationships. We cannot let him. God has given us real life opportunities during this time, relational opportunities. Okay, God gave us intentional togetherness with those in our family. I know that we were in lockdown, we really didn't have a choice, there's nowhere we could go, but we did have a choice in how we were going to interact with those in our household. We had the ability to get to know our spouse again, right? To play games with our kids and laugh with them. We had intentional togetherness that our busy schedules pre-COVID did not allow for. We had the opportunity to care for our single friends and our elderly neighbors, because we got to see, you know, if we're all in lockdown, who's home alone during this time? And we could identify them, and we could make a phone call, send a card, drop off a treat on their porch, but care for these people during this time. We had the opportunity to be a light in the darkness. 2020 has been a dark year. It has been a heavy year. But we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are able to shine His light. People need hope. They want the comfort that God can give. And we are a representation of that hope and that comfort and that peace that passes all understanding. You have opportunities to spread encouragement during this time. And we had the opportunity to find out who in society is deemed an essential worker. While we were in lockdown, there were people who got up, got dressed, went to work every day, faced the possibility of getting sick, and they still went. So I want to publicly thank all of the healthcare workers and police officers, those that work in grocery stores, food service, public transportation, childcare workers. You guys did things, yes. You did things that we couldn't do, and honestly, that we wouldn't even want to. And so I thank you. Thank you for that. In 2020, our eyes have been opened to be thankful for the things that we have, but they've also been opened to see the things that we take for granted. So I urge you to pursue your relationships. Now I'm going to leave you with challenges this week. I'm going to challenge you to slow down some time within this next week, to take time and reflect on the year that God gave you, the experiences you went through. Ask him what he would want you to learn from this time. You know, we hear the scripture, God uses all things for good for those who love him, and sometimes it can feel like a cliche because it's used over and over, but I'm going to tell you something. This is not a cliche. It is the very words of God, and he uses all things for good, even the things that don't feel good. Spend time with God and listen for him. I'm going to challenge you to go into that inner world. Feel the emotions you've been carrying around, that extra weight that COVID has brought, and surrender them to the Lord. All that extra weight is not for you to carry. Take time and surrender that to him. And I'm going to challenge you, look for ways to love on those in your life this week. Be intentional about your relationships, about your time, and reaching out to others. You know, as we close, there's a song, Christmas song, that played over and over this year, Oh Holy Night. And if you listen to Christmas Station for 5 minutes, you're going to hear it probably twice. And within this song, there's a lyric, and it says, a weary world rejoices. And that lyric kept bouncing around my head because I feel like we live in a weary world. And I don't know about you, but I've been a weary person this year, just tired, exhausted. But do you know, when we are weary, Jesus speaks to us in that place. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It makes me think of a child who climbs up into their father's lap, knowing they are safe, and curling up and falling asleep on his chest. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. Come to me with all of your emotion, all of your heartbreak, everything you're carrying, and rest in me. Just like our scripture in Isaiah said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. You know, that song goes on to say, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And that's encouraging because that means we don't have to stay in this weary place. There is hope. There is a new and a glorious future for us. And I hope for all of you that 2021 is this new and glorious morn in your relationship with God. Why don't you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you that we can be here this morning, God, taking time to process all of the experiences that we have had within this last year. God, we know that you are faithful to grow us. Lord, you are faithful to draw near to us when we draw near to you. God, you're good, even when bad things happen. So, Lord, I pray for those who are here today and who are home that we would take time to slow down and hear your voice, God. That we would surrender those things in our heart that you have not called us to carry, God. Anything that might be hindering us from an intimate and beautiful relationship with you, God. Open our eyes to see the things that we take for granted so that we can intentionally draw near. Love on those in our life, God. You have blessed us in the midst of a really tough year. And Lord, your presence is the biggest blessing that you gave us this year. So God, we come near to you and we fall at your feet and we surrender all that we have to your lordship. Thank you, God, for this day. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.